Hey everyone, welcome to the Plus Platoon. We're a Disney Plus fan podcast that gives honest, spoiler-filled reviews of movies and shows on Disney Plus. We'll look at new releases, coming attractions, and we'll even go back into the vault to revisit some of the classic Disney that's on the platform. Make sure you're subscribed and you will never miss a moment. I'm going to bring in Kate. Kate, welcome back. Good to see you this evening.
Thanks, it's so good to be back. I missed my tuners last week.
And we got Steve this week. Steve, how's your week going?
It's going.
Yeah. With the weather, teachers know when the weather is changing. So, guys, if you have not already, please like, subscribe, share. We got some fun shows coming up. We got some Olympic-themed shows coming up. We got some new reviews coming up. So, you're not going to want to miss what we got going on. But this week, we looked at the new documentary, Disneyland Handcrafted. It was a documentary by Leslie Iwerks, who is Ub's daughter. Daughter? Granddaughter?
Granddaughter.
Granddaughter. Okay. So, and she's also the one who did the Imagineering story about all the different parks and such. So, this looks at film of Disneyland, essentially in the year that it took for them to build it up through opening day. It's got a bunch of, basically it's a bunch of 8mm footage. They went in and they had cameras filming just about everything. And so it's all of that footage spliced together with interviews from different people who worked on the park. So, my first question to you is, what was the most interesting thing you saw in this? Kay, I'll let you start this one.
Yeah. So I kind of went into this thinking, like, I'm not going to find anything new. This is going to, like, it's going to be fine. And I actually did find a lot new that I didn't know. I loved that this was really more focused on the actual, like, I know it's called handcrafted, but like it really was focused on like the hands-on building of the parks, the park. And it wasn't like, it wasn't so much like the ideas that Walt had and stuff. It was like, no, this was the hands-on. So one of the parts I really liked was they were talking about the concrete and they were like, it was so much concrete. Like he underestimated how much concrete it was. And one of the guys had, I don't know, I was trying to figure out, and I'm thinking one of you might be able to tell me this. It was like a big pipe and it was either shooting out sand or concrete.
It's gunite. It's basically, think like the stuff they use to make swimming pool walls. Swimming pool rocks. It's it's a form of concrete.
Got it. So I found this fascinating because I don't think people realize, even now, even in the parks that are being opened and the sections of parks that are being opened now, the detailing that goes into Disney, that is what Disney is known for. And the detailing, even back in 1955, the detailing that went into all of the paint and that went into the concrete and the sand. And even like one part that totally stood out to me is there was the concrete they had laid that was red and then they made it look like bricks, but it wasn't bricks. I was like, I was walking on my walking pad while I was watching this. And I almost wanted to like rewind it and be like, did I see that correctly? I think I even though I've worked there and I know the detail that goes on with parks and the detail and the detail oriented stuff. But I just thought that was so cool. I don't know. The concrete I thought was so cool. Steve, what'd you think?
I liked just the time lapse, like seeing it coming up. We also watching it with my partner of how the safety regulations were so lax by our standards.
Yep.
Like, there's no harness there. You're just going up and you're doing this. I'm like, I think especially the one when he was climbing the flagpole and you see the flagpole like waving back and forth.
Nope.
Of just finding that fascinating and the smoking. Like, here I am painting and I have a cigarette and I'm smoking. And we mentioned also, like you said, of, oh, those are not real bricks. Those are just like stamped in.
Well, and when you talked about smoking, when the guy was like, yeah, we didn't realize that there was gas coming up and I'm smoking a cigar, and a guy like comes in and he waltzes me out of the hub. And like that was, yeah.
And that was actually, that actually happened on opening day. They had it like,
yeah,
that those fires out of the hub were, it was a gas leak in the castle on opening day.
Yeah.
So, yeah, for me, I think it was just things, little things, like I had not realized how much actual concrete and brickwork there was in Sleeping Beauty Castle. Uh-huh. Because Cinderella Castle is all fiberglass.
Yeah.
So, right. But, you know, this is 17 years before, and concrete's a whole lot cheaper than fiberglass, especially back then. And so, just some of that. I really enjoyed seeing the footage I had not really seen was of when they were putting together Tomorrowland. Putting together the, and this, well, there's some stuff I want to see, wanted to see more. But like when they were mounting the TWA rocket to the moon.
That was going to be my question. Yes. I have, keep going. I have a question on that.
Oh, no, go ahead. What's your question?
What was that? Was that a ride?
Yes, it was. Okay. It's the same thing. Do you remember the old Stitch ride at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or
Alien Encounter.
The alien ride before that.
What it used to be is it was a circle. Think, okay, you haven't been in Space 220, have you?
I don't know what that is.
There's a video screen in the bottom and there's a video screen up top. And they would take, it was the rocket to the moon. So you would, as you took off, you would see the Earth basically getting smaller down below and the moon getting bigger up above. And it would be like they would drop the bottom of the seats just a little bit. So it felt like you were accelerating and that kind of stuff. So that's what that was. It was an advertisement for the rocket to the moon.
Oh.
So.
Which then later became Mission Space?
No. Uh-uh. Not even close.
Okay.
Well, At Disneyland, is that where, and Gina can kind of nod or shake her head, is that where the current DVC lounge is? No? Okay.
No, I think it's where, Gina, is it where like Pizza Planet is sort of tucked in or Ava, whatever?
No. Okay, I'm just going to, Gina, come up and let us know where we're wrong.
It's Star Tours.
Oh, it's Star Tours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Gina.
You're welcome.
So anyway, that was my most interesting, is I had not seen a lot of the Disneyland, like Tomorrowland stuff and construction. So to me, that's what was the most interesting thing to see. But there was lots of stuff. How the giraffe was basically just the head and neck on that cam. So it was literally just going in circles. This was before they had all the different motors and everything. That's why it was originally a lot of repetitive motion on Jungle Cruise. Is because it was, you know, the looping and stuff. Which, Kate, did you know the original Jungle Cruise was actually, in theory, educational?
I did not know that. It doesn't surprise me.
It was not jokes.
It was not jokes, yeah. It was not jokes at first. The jokes came later.
Which is funny because I was actually waiting for Walt to say the backside of water.
No, uh-uh.
Wow.
But I liked how they talked about how he wanted to take them on the backside of water.
Yes, that was why I was waiting for it.
Coming up with that idea.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that was actually one of the very few jokes that was in the original. Because I've actually found it's a Thurl Ravenscroft does the voice narration like he's a Jungle Cruise skipper. And it's very, very serious. Kate, you know who Thurl Ravenscroft is, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, super deep voice. Tony the Tiger did the... Okay. So, Disney legend. But, so that's what... But there were lots of interesting things. Seeing Walt, some of the very off... You can tell where he's just kind of playing around and being silly as opposed to him being always so serious and always knowing he's on camera type thing. Okay. So if that's what the most interesting thing for you to see is, what else would you have liked to see? What's something else from the construction of it that you would like to see? Steve, I'll start with you on this one.
Okay, I'm first going to this because I read this question. I'm sort of maybe nitpicking, but I wish at times they had names on the screen so I knew who I was seeing. Like, I know some people because I've seen so many clips and stuff, but it would have been nice to know, like, that person there is Bob Gurr. Like, I've seen it because I've seen photos, I've seen, heard him talk. But other times, like, who is it? I don't know if it was maybe our sound system because we just got new surround sound, but was it hard sometimes to hear the person speaking?
Yes.
Like, I found the background music was just off enough where sometimes it was like, man. So it wasn't our sound system. What I'd like to see, I think just more details of how some things came about. Like, I found it fascinating, like, when more of the sort of carving intricate work, like, I know Disney did that, but, like, how it came about.
It's fair.
I found that really, like, fascinating of, like, it wasn't really bricks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed.
For me, there's a couple things I would have wanted differently. One, to go kind of along with yours, show the people they're interviewing talking for at least a little bit. It would have broken up some of the hour and 40 minute of 8mm footage that
watching them pour concrete.
Well, and yeah, but it's just, it would have been something slightly visually different to break it up just a little bit. I would have liked to see the people talk, and it could be 10 seconds and then they do the rest of the voiceover. I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
But just give me some sort of other visual.
Yeah.
The other thing I would like to see is, for opening day, they actually brought in the squid from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea and did an entire walkthrough exhibit with it.
Wow.
And so I would have loved to see that. I would have loved to see some of the stuff from Monsanto that they opened with, like the House of the Future. But Tomorrowland, all they had was Rocket to the Moon was not open on opening day. It opened on like day 3 or 4. And they had the squid from 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And other than that, Tomorrowland was asphalt and empty buildings. Because Walt's, they had originally said, no, we can't get Tomorrowland done. We're just going to wait. No, we can't get Tomorrowland done. We're just going to wait. Then about 2 months before, Walt said, no, we need to get Tomorrowland done.
Yeah.
So that's the two things I would have liked to see them do a little bit different on this. How about you, Kate?
So there was one thing they touched on it. And I wish that, like, I wish that there had been like a budget meter along, because it was.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at one point they were like, we've used over half the budget and there's just a bunch of holes in the ground.
Yeah, Walt is not happy about that.
So I wish that there had been like, because it kept being like 3 months till opening, 2 months till opening. I wish that there had just been like a little budget meter of like, and this is how much they spent. And look, nothing's been built. And this is how much we spent. And now we have a steamboat. Like, I kind of, because I was trying to kind of follow the money and the budgeting of it, because I knew that that was a point of contention.
Walt's attitude. When Walt's attitude, where he got to the point of, well, I've been broke before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The other thing, tell me if I made this up in my head, but I heard once that, like, the asphalt, I know they talked about it with the cars, that the asphalt was, that things were falling into it, but wasn't, like, women's heels?
Yes.
Yes, I've heard that.
So I didn't make that up.
No, it was so fresh and it was so hot that day that the women with their high heels were sinking into the asphalt.
Okay, I wish they would have touched on that.
Or how they had to bring in a helicopter the morning of opening to dry some of the concrete.
And like, weren't like bathrooms not ready or something?
Yes. Okay, and that they did touch on how they
because
there was a plumber's strike earlier, so they only had enough time to do either the bathrooms or the drinking fountains. And as Walt said, people can buy Pepsi and Coke. People have to be able to go to the bathroom.
Okay.
So it's also interesting. They were originally going to be pay toilets and non-pay toilets. And what? Because the whole idea was back then, a pay toilet was typically seen as more clean. And Walt said, no, all of them are going to be free and they're all going to be super clean.
Wow.
So,
yeah, I wish they would have touched on, because they didn't touch on it, but right. They talked about the cars driving through it. And so I was like, did I make that up in my head? Did I just like have a fever dream? Okay. Those are the two things that I wish I could have seen a little more of.
Okay. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff. And I will say Disneyland has been done and done and done because it was so, especially some of the money issues that they did. I haven't really seen it on a video, but there's lots of books about how basically Walt begged, borrowed, and almost stole a bunch of the money that kept coming in for this. Because I said, I think he said the original budget was $3 million, and it ended up well over $17 million by the time they opened. Now, they were also able to retire the loans on it within, I believe, a year.
Oh my gosh, that's insane.
It was a money printing machine.
Okay, so I have a question. So what is it about Disneyland that made it different than other theme parks, than Knott's Berry Farms? Because I know they showed a sign for Knott's Berry Farms. Yes, Steve, go.
What do you think, Steve?
A lot of it was back then amusement parks had a bad rep for being sort of seedy. And then he really went in and focused on family entertainment. And he talked to ABC and think about it. He advertised it. I remember even as a kid with the reruns, it was like an advertisement. And what did I want to do? Dad, we want to go to Disneyland.
And that's where I was going to go with it is him having basically a 1-hour program every week. Advertising this park.
Okay.
I have pictures of my mother was there. This opened in 65 or 55.
Yeah.
I think they went in 56. They drove out from Indiana to go see it. Her and her brother and my grandparents.
Wow.
And I have pictures of the old Chicken of the Sea pirate ship.
Which was nice.
I have and I have all sorts of pictures. I have pictures of her on one of the mule train mules in Frontierland.
Wow.
One thing I think is amazing is I don't remember exactly who it is, but it was written by someone who worked for the Aero Development Company, which did a lot of the rides that they made. Like Peter Pan. That Peter Pan ride has not changed much since 1955, at least.
Oh, I did like seeing that clip of them riding just the mechanism. That was cool.
Yeah, that mechanism has not changed much since 1955.
Wow.
But this was the first time any mechanism like that had ever been done.
Yeah.
There are a lot of really good books on just whatever side of the development you want to jump into. Like, for example, the first steel tube roller coaster ever was the Matterhorn.
Wow.
So, and because Disney wanted to do it.
Right.
And so they came up with the stuff. So, okay.
Yeah, okay. That was fascinating. I heard Bob Gurr talk about that. And basically, you have to realize he went home and sketched it out without any computers or anything, how to fit the track inside.
Under the mountain.
The mountain.
So,
right.
And it worked.
And it worked.
It's got a slide rule and a table of formulas.
Yeah.
So, okay. So we have seen multiple specials like this on the history of Disneyland and its development. Would this have been as interesting for Disney World? And I'm going to say yes, if nothing else, just because it hasn't been done. Especially if they can get into the Project Future or Project X of the buying the land in Florida, which was so cloak and dagger.
Sure was. Still is.
Well, yeah. And some of the thoughts of, how the building, the ideas of, okay, all of a sudden Walt's gone.
Mm-hmm.
What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
How? And I know the Imagineering story tried to do it a little bit, but that's probably as deep as into it as I've ever seen is on the original Imagineering story. So I think it would be interesting. I don't know that it would be as interesting just because Disneyland was so groundbreaking. And then Disney Magic Kingdom was basically a copy that they could throw together as fast as they could.
Right.
So
I agree. I think what they could do to make it more interesting is people don't realize Florida is at sea level. So, like, you can't dig deep because you hit water. So one of the coolest facts that people I don't think realize is, like, Magic Kingdom is the second floor of a building.
Yes.
Like, Magic Kingdom is, it is built on a tunnel system, but the tunnel system is technically the first floor of a building because you can't, there's a reason there's no basements in Florida. So I think if they approached it from a, here's why this is so groundbreaking, and here's why, like, they had to get, Walt's dream was so specific and they had to get so creative so that you wouldn't see someone from Frontierland in Tomorrowland, or you get what I'm saying. So, and there's a reason why people just kind of appear in the Magic Kingdom. It is, if they took it from that, like, it, yes, it was a pseudo carbon copy of the Magic Kingdom in Disneyland, but it also is different because it had to be. It had to, they had different issues building World, partly because it's a whole different environment. Like, and I know that that doesn't seem like a big deal until you go to, until you go to Florida in August and try to watch the 3 o'clock parade and want to die because you're swimming in humidity. it's just a whole different, like, I know, speaking from experience, we had to adjust a lot of things when we opened the Festival of Fantasy Parade because they were amazing, but the choreographer and director were from land and didn't realize how different. You couldn't do land choreography in World. We wouldn't survive because of the humidity, because of the heat, because of the costumes. Even the costumes had to be different because of the humidity. So there's so many things that I don't think people realize are different solely because of the weather. You have to adjust. And I'm sure that was a huge learning curve for all of the people who built World. But Steve, what do you think?
I agree that if it wasn't that, I'm going back and forth of what I want to see, Animal Kingdom or Epcot. Like, I've seen things of with, like, Spaceship Earth being built. I know Animal Kingdom was sort of groundbreaking, but I think there's been bits and pieces of that. But something so similar to this where it was so time-lapse.
I would have loved to have seen some of the drawings and sketches of what Animal Kingdom was supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Especially things like the Beastly Kingdom. Because let's face it, there is a fire-breathing dragon on
the tree of light.
Animal Kingdom marquee. Because it was originally supposed to have a dragons and beasts section on it. So, and it just kind of went away. So, okay. Guys, any other thoughts about this specific documentary as far as the good, the bad? I overall enjoyed it.
I did too. And it really did show, because I really was going into this like, tell me something I don't know. But it did. It did tell me things I didn't know. I really enjoyed it.
I mean, it makes me appreciate the detail. Because I remember the first time I went to Universal, one of the first things I said was, I'm missing the lack of detail. I don't know, it's changed now since there's been Epic. But before I went, like, where's the detail? Like, well, I haven't been to Epic, so I can't compare. But there was a couple of the rides I went, Disney does it so much better. like they're trying, but they're not quite there.
I agree with everything except Harry Potter.
So
I think.
But is it at every Harry Potter section or is it just the main one?
I would say all of the Harry Potter sections. Epic. But I would agree with you, Steve, except when it comes to the detail of Harry Potter land.
But it's just all those little tiny,
yes,
like him deciding to do these little tiny things of, yes, that matters. Because he was talking about something is because people are going to notice.
Yes.
There was a comment sometime of you don't want to go this way because people will pick up on it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's brilliant.
Okay. So as we always do, we do cups of pixie dust out of 5 for everything we watch. 4 Disneyland handcrafted Kate cups of pixie dust.
I'm going to give this a 3.5. I probably won't go watch it again. If my husband sat down and was like, hey, I think I really want to watch it, I might, but it's not something I'm going to like seek out. But it did teach me something new. So I'm going to give it a 3.5.
And I'm like, hey, 3.5. Like, I'm trying to figure out how much new I actually saw. I mean, that was my question. Like, how much is actually new footage? But I really enjoyed it. It was nice to see it all really condensed in 1 year, which just amazes me.
Yes.
So 3.5.
I'm actually going to give this a 4. I really enjoy this. I love these kind of documentaries on Disney and that kind of stuff. I have a hard time not watching this kind of stuff. So, if that makes sense. So, and I know Pete couldn't be on technical difficulties, but Pete really enjoyed it also. I know. So, guys, this is something, especially if you are a somewhat deeper Disneyland fan.
Oh, definitely, yes.
Go watch it. If you are a completely casual, I have no idea what to do, go watch Imagineering Story first and then come watch this.
I'd agree with that.
That's what I would say. Yeah. So, Kate, what have we got for Disney Plus news this week?
We've got actually more than normal. First up, the announced Star Wars movie focusing on Admiral Thrawn and the heir to the Empire story is now rumored to be coming to Disney Plus instead as a limited series. It will wrap up the storylines of Ahsoka, Book of Boba Fett, The Mandalorian, and Skeleton Crew, so it will likely appear in 2027 or 2028.
And this was supposed to be Dave Filoni's, I think it was supposed to be his live action directing premiere in movies, and now it's just going to be a series on Disney Plus, which tells me, hey, Disney seems to be backing off of movies everywhere, off of TV shows everywhere except Star Wars.
Yep.
Because there's the new Darth Maul series coming out, Gina, can you hop in here for a second? I'm guessing the Darth Maul one, I'm guessing, comes between The Pit and Solo.
Yes. And it's animated, so it's the same.
It's animated?
Yeah, it's going to be the same as like Bad Batch.
Okay. Isn't it like the Red Hand or the Dark Hand something?
Yeah, I forget the name of it. Something Red something, yeah. Red.
The Foot something. Planet? No, wait, that's something totally different.
It's so. Red something, anyway.
You know, I'm curious what you would have ranked this documentary.
This for me was a 3.5. I'm not going to go back. And I told Derek beforehand, unfortunately, living in California and having an annual pass to Disneyland, they would show these to us on weekdays for an hour.
Got it. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Your life is so hard.
It's tough living here. In California. All right.
It's the girl who lived at Disney World for 10 years, so I get it.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, it was officially announced that Daredevil Born Again Season 2 will be coming to Disney Plus on March 24th. That was announced in conjunction with a new trailer release this week. Interesting. Yeah. I will watch it. We don't have to watch it, but I will watch it.
Yeah, and we didn't watch the Daredevil season on here. So we probably won't watch season 2, to be perfectly honest, just because from what I remember, you guys talking about little violent.
Oh, a lot of violent.
A lot of violent.
Lot of violent.
Okay.
Very violent. Much violent.
Okay.
And last but not least, Zootopia 2 was released to streaming purchase this week. Blu-ray and DVD releases will come on March 3rd. No word yet on the Disney Plus release date. If it follows recent schedules, it will be on Disney Plus on March 10th or 17th. And that's it for the Disney Plus news.
And that is something we will be watching. So I did not. Is it just me or did they? like, drop this to purchase streaming, like, with no fanfare. They just kind of said, okay, it's not making any money any overseas anymore. Let's just let people go buy it now.
Yep.
Yeah, there's so many pirated copies out there that they just kind of decide, hey, let's let people buy this. So, okay, next week, Wonder Man, the new Marvel series, all comes out at once. I believe it's actually out by now from when we tape on Tuesday. But we're only going to watch these episodes 1 and 2.
How many episodes are there total?
It's either 6 or 8.
Okay.
I think it's 8. So we're going to watch the first 2 episodes for next week. And part of it's going to be, do we want to watch the rest of it? Or is it going to be a 2 and that's about enough?
Okay.
So
that's fair.
That's going to be next week. I do know after that, there's the Muppets coming. There's all sorts of other stuff. There's some new stuff coming out. There's some not that new stuff coming out. I think you guys are going to be excited for the one I've picked for the Olympics this time around. Cause remember, 4 years ago, we did Cool Runnings. This year, I picked something else for
it. Miracle? Is it Miracle? Is it Miracle? But is it Miracle? But is it Miracle?
You're going to have to stay tuned to find out.
Is it Heated Rivalry? Is it Heated Rivalry? okay, it's fine. Is it Miracle? But is it Miracle?
This one's one with, you know, the hockey player and the figure skater, you know, with the...
Cutting Edge.
Cutting Edge?
Yeah, it is not that one.
Topic.
No toe picks.
Toe pick.
So, but guys, if you have suggestions on what you want us to watch, April starts getting pretty sparse. Because let's face it, not much came out last fall. So there's not going to be much new coming on here. Email us at plusfortune@gmail.com. Send us messages on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, anywhere you get our show. You can shoot us a message. We will answer it. We have new episodes coming out every Thursday on YouTube and all the major podcasting services. For Kate and Steve, Gina in the background, Pete, we will see everyone next week. And bye, guys.
Bye. Bye.
Thanks for watching this week's episode of the Plus Platoon. Be sure to subscribe to the Plus Platoon podcast to keep getting great content each week. Then head over to Apple Podcasts and leave those 5-star reviews as they help make the Plus Platoon visible to even more Disney Plus fans. Also, go to YouTube and like and subscribe to the Plus Platoon channel, where you can watch all future episodes live. If you have a question for the Plus Platoon, please send us an email to plusplatoon@gmail.com or connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at Plus Platoon.
The Plus Platoon is a Disney Plus fan podcast and is not affiliated with the Walt Disney Company or the Disney Plus streaming service. All opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the individual hosts and in no way reflect the views of the Walt Disney Company.
Thanks for watching, and be sure to stay tuned for next week's episode, because the Plus Platoon is to be continued.